morning we're going to look together at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Perhaps a familiar scripture, but a good one, a loaded one. How many of you know that the apostles sometimes had a hard life? Just a little bit, right? Just things were challenging at times. They, you know, just shipwrecks and beatings and prisons and things like that, you know, just a little bit of hard life. They understood the measure of what it meant to suffer. They understood the measure of what it meant to go through something. How many of us know what it means to go through something? Maybe not on that level, but we know what it's like to go through something, right? Life gets difficult and troublesome and gets rocky, and we go through things. That's just life. Life is made up of going through things, good and bad. And that's the nature of being a human, is you go through stuff. And we don't always go through good stuff. And our world has proven that you can have the most money in the world and still go through stuff. And you can have no money in the world and still go through stuff. That it has nothing to do with socioeconomic status. It has nothing to do with tradition, culture, background, race. We all go through stuff because we're human. The depravity of humanity affects all of us. And we're all going through stuff. Amen? All going through stuff. But beyond that, is this ability to daily walk. You know, how many of you know the Christian life is made up of 1,000 decisions every day? It's daily walking with the Lord. And it's sometimes in the daily part that people get lost in. They live for the moments instead of the daily. And it's the daily where we really walk, right? It's day by day. That's where we're trusted. We're promised today. We're not promised tomorrow. So it's day by day. And Paul understood this very well as he was going through all that he was going through, writing letters to churches, encouraging churches, doing the work of God in the ministry that he was called to do. How many of you know he needed the help of the Lord? Right? It's hard to do the work of the Lord when you've been beat for the name of Jesus and you're still thinking, but Lord, I need to encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord. How many of you know that does not come from ourselves? That does not come from Walmart. That comes from the Lord. Help. That type of help. And so I want to read to you a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul was talking about some great things the Lord had shown him, some visions that he had seen and wonderful things that he had seen. And perhaps even some have suggested, as he says here, I was caught up to the third heaven, that he had these perhaps vision of heaven at some point, because some of his writings suggest that later on. But nonetheless, let's read this today. Therefore, to keep me from becoming too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He was tormented. Being tormented is rough. And Paul isn't talking about necessarily something physical as much as he is spiritual. But he's also talking about something that was necessary. Because there he is, he says, to keep me from becoming too elated or too proud or too puffed up. It's easy sometimes when you think you've got it all together in the faith to become puffed up. And that's the danger of the Christian life, is that nobody's got it all together. We're daily, we're all living by grace every day. So he says, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. So Paul's praying. He says, Lord, take this thorn away from me. Take this messenger away from me. Get rid of it. But guess what? It doesn't happen. And that tells me something about the nature of prayer, that sometimes there's prayers that we pray, that we pray, but in our trust of our relationship with God, God is sovereign and knows what best and doesn't give us the answer that we necessarily want, but gives us the answer that we need. And that's exactly what he was doing for Paul. And aren't you grateful for the sovereignty of God that can see things beyond what we can see and knows what I need? Because if the Lord answered every prayer I prayed, boy, I would be a mess. In so many different ways. He knows what's best for us. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that he would leave me, but he said to me, and this is the word from the Lord for Paul and for all of us, my grace is sufficient for you, For power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. I've been reading through the crucifixion story again and the accounts of in John, and I've just been reflecting on this thought of weakness and power a little bit more as I've been thinking about Pilate. You know, if you read that sometime, Pilate, boy, he was put in a very precarious situation. But there was something about Pilate that as he came to the Jews, he appeared as powerful, but when he came to Jesus, it was almost as if he was weak before him. Well, what do you want me to do? It's as if he was asking for direction from Jesus. And our world is looking for power, right? That's what the world is after. They're power hungry. Let me have this. Let me have control of this. Let me be in reign over this. And there's this pursuit of power. But in the kingdom of God, as with most things, it's the opposite. It's the pursuit of weakness, because God says that in weakness, his power is made perfect. And there is no real power like God's power. All the other power that the world claims is it fades away. It passes away. It's fleeting. It's no real grip on power. And even Jesus, in that account, speaking to Pilate, told him, "You wouldn't be in the position of power if it wouldn't have been for God permitting you to be there." And so there is no power apart from God. There is no real power apart from God. But sometimes we underestimate what that power is, because we look at power through a worldly lens. We think about positions of authority, and we think about demanding things and that sort of type of thing. But that's not what power is in God's mind. And so he goes on to say, "I will boast of these weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content." That's a hard thing to read for me. "I am content with weaknesses." Has anybody ever said that in here? "I am content with weakness. Lord, I'm content to be weak today." No, that's a hard thing to say. I'm content, Lord, when someone insults me. No, that's hard to say too. I have never said that. I've never said, "Insult me, please." I've never said that. "I'm content with hardships." Nope. Never have said that. I'm praying, "Lord, get me out of this and get me out fast." I've never been content with persecutions. No, that makes me mad. No, the opposite. I've never been content in calamities for the sake of Christ. But Paul understood something here. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. And this morning I want to talk to you about the sufficiency of grace. The sufficiency of grace. We love to sing songs about grace. We loved, and there's been beautiful hymns wrote about grace, right? Amazing Grace. The writer of that song lived a terrible life up until the point that he came to write that song and know the Lord. We sing about grace, but the truth is, and the question we have to ask ourselves every day is, are we living by grace? Living by grace. If you read the New Testament for any length of time and you just get into it just a little bit, pick up in Romans and just read the letters that Paul and Peter and James are writing to the churches, all of them talk about grace. And not only that, they usually start it as a greeting, "Grace be to you," or as a closing to the letter, "And God's grace be with you." Always talking about grace, because they understood the nature and the necessity of grace, what that means. And this morning, I hope for us to just understand a little bit what grace is and what that means for me, not just in when I come to know the Lord, right? We're saved by grace, but what that means for me every single day of my life. Boy, lately I have been reflecting about grace, and this is just a coming boomerang. It hits me first, and boy, I've just been thinking, thank God for his grace. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, the Bible says that with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. What does that mean? So let's look at Acts 6 and 8. The Bible says Stephen, you know, Stephen, he was arrested. He was about to be martyred for the sake of the Lord. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. We see this evidence in the early church, and we see it throughout Acts, and we see it throughout the rest of the New Testament, that where there is God working among the people, there is coincidentally grace working among the people. That God's work among the people is God's grace among the people. And that God doing wonderful things among the people meant that God's grace was with the people. This is the truth over and over again. And it's not just any grace. The Bible says Stephen, full of grace. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony with great grace was upon them all. And so this tells me that reading through this New Testament understanding of grace, that in order to do the work that God has called us to do and to live out the Christian life, we need grace every day. Not just when we come to know the Lord, we need grace every day. We're saved by grace, oh, but we need grace every single day. There's Paul. He's been a believer for some time in his life, going through the Christian life. And there he is. He's saying, Lord, please get this thing away from me. This thing that's tormenting, get rid of me. And God doesn't say, okay, I'll do that. God says, no, what you need is my grace. For the measure of God's grace is enough for any and every situation that we go through in life. And the thing that often is difficult is we like to understand grace. We sing about grace. We read about grace. But in order to live in that type of mindset that says God's grace is sufficient for me, it has to get deep down inside of us. And it comes by living by faith and assurance that I will not make it, but God's grace will sustain me and will help me. So what is grace? Grace is simple. Grace is God's help that we do not deserve. God's help that we do not deserve. No one in this room, no one, starting with yours truly, does not deserve God's grace. No one. None of us do. But God freely gives his grace because that's who God is, right? God is love. And if God is love, then surely he wants to give help to those whom he has created and those whom he loves. That's the nature of love. So God is love, and grace is the avenue by which his love flows. Grace coming to us day to day. It's God's love. It's coming towards us. It's God's help helping us in anything. You're going through a situation, and you think, how am I going to make it through this? You're overwhelmed by a grief. You're overwhelmed by a job situation, a financial struggle, by some battle you're going through spiritually. It's the promise that I do not have to be delivered from the struggle, but God's help is enough for me in the struggle. And it is that understanding that Paul is able to say, that's why I boast in my weaknesses. Because I've discovered when I can't do anything, when I can't fight for myself, when I can't go to bat for myself, when I can't stand up for myself, those are the moments that I can watch God work with my own eyes. That is the understanding that Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. You know what I love about Stephen? Is Stephen knows he's about to die. Stephen, you read his story in Acts, you read him preach in Acts 6 and 7, but you read the story and he knows what's about to happen. He knows his life is over for the sake of the Lord. He knows that, but he preaches with power. Preaches, and the Bible says that before his life was taken from him, before he was stoned to death, that he looked up and he could see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't you think there was grace for Stephen to preach until his very last breath? Absolutely. Grace flowing through him. So a few things we want to talk about, looking at that scripture there for Paul. A few things is, number one, it's the simplicity of the statement, but it's important to review it, is grace is enough. Grace is enough. The apostles and Stephen, they were not depending on anyone to come bail them out. They were not waiting for somebody to show up mysteriously at the prison door with a key and say, let me out. They were not asking for help from anyone else. And they were learning to depend that God's grace is able to keep us through whatever we go through in life. Whether we are in prison or whether we're standing up to a people that we've never met before and we have to preach the gospel, God's grace is enough. It's enough. And you know, sometimes the lie that we wrestle with is, it's the accuser, it's the condemnation. Will you be able to make it? Will you? No, this is too much for you. You can't do it. You might as well quit and give up. It's all of this run away. It's when life gets difficulty, our fight or flight response kicks in. And usually it's flight when spiritual things come in. And we want to run away from it. But the nature of grace is that I can make it through it. I can make it through it. Listen, you can make it through it. You don't need whatever the intervention is. You need God's grace. And maybe through that, the intervention will come or the answer will come that you're looking for. But before all of that is the necessity of grace. God's help coming to you and I. The one who sits on a throne, high and lifted up, who the Bible says heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And here we are, billions of people on the earth, but God has promised each and every one of us that his grace is sufficient for us. It is enough. It's enough. Nothing else is necessary. His grace is enough. God did not promise Paul, I will take the tormentor away from you. God did not promise Paul, I will deliver you from this. God promised Paul grace. Because what more could we need than God's help in that alone? Isn't God's help enough? If God's help was not enough, could he be God? No, God's help is enough because we serve an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God who all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, and his help is enough. It's enough to stand up against the tormentors. It's enough to stand up against the insults. It's enough to go through whatever trial we're going through. It is enough. And what really happens is that when grace is sustaining us in the midst of tormenting, in the weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities, really what that does is it testifies and it glorifies God. When someone can look in our life and see all the calamities that are going through and all the struggles that are going through, but there is this resilience, this steadfastness, and this trust in God no matter what, it testifies to the power of God. The thing about grace is you can't see it. Oh, but you sure can feel it. And you sure can experience it. And you sure know when it has come. Hasn't that been through you? You're going through some times in your life. Oh, I can recall many of them. Difficult, overwhelmed, thought I was going to have a panic attack, anxiety, and just have to open my mouth and all I could say was Jesus and this flow of grace. That's enough, Lord. That's all I need, just grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love flowing to me. That's enough. It is enough. And I just want to encourage you this morning that the temptation is to run to anything and everything else. But where faith kicks in is to be able to say, all I need is God's grace. That will sustain me. And whatever the answer might be, God's grace will supply it. Secondly, we see this as Paul talks here, the sufficiency of grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Grace is God's help that we do not deserve, but grace is also God's power that we do not deserve. When God speaks to Paul here, he equates grace to power. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. It's the relevance of God equates grace to power. Power equals grace, grace equals power in the kingdom of God. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Now, when we're talking about power, as we did earlier, we have all of these different understandings about what power is and what we think power is. But just take a moment and open up your Bible to just about anywhere, and you can see what God's power looks like. And you can see the nature of God's power, that God's power accomplishes things. God's power brings to life dead people and brings them to standing with Jesus Christ. God's grace equals power working in our lives. Isn't that what happened to us? We were dead in our trespasses, but we've been saved through grace. God's power, resurrection power, brought us to life, and therefore we are now alive with Jesus Christ. His grace is power. So his grace is enough for you and I, but his grace is also, we can't underestimate what his grace can accomplish. If Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, then boy, that is some type of power that you and I do not know the measure of nor the end of. It's wonderful power. Power that works for you and I. Power that is not taken unto oneself, but power that God is wanting to give to you and I. Not to have some type of proud, authoritarian type of figure. That's not what he's talking about. The type of power where Paul can stand up at the end of this verse and say, Lord, take this thorn from me. But then he says, no, God's power is working in me. You don't have to take it. I know I'm strong enough to go through this now. That's the type of power he's talking about. Grace is power. Thirdly, this is important too, because this gets confused. Ephesians chapter 2, we see this, and we see this with Paul here as he's there praying for a prayer. He's asking, take it from me, but the Lord responds to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's this answer to prayer that he was not expecting. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, this is an important scripture. This is like a foundational scripture of Christianity. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And here's the important part. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. There's no one in here who today can say, I earned my salvation. I did all the right steps and I'm better than you because I did it. That's not going to happen. No. The Bible says, through grace you have been saved. And listen, this isn't your own doing. So just when you think you've done something good for the Lord, just remember, by grace. Just when I think, oh, I've got it together. No, it's not your own doing. It's grace. A lot of times I've discovered in my life is grace is working and sometimes I don't even know it. It's not our own doing. There is nothing that you can do to earn God's grace. You can't jump through too many hoops. You can't say so many prayers. You can't read so many scriptures. No, God's grace is received, not earned. And if you want grace, you don't jump so many times. You just receive. You never, when someone comes to you, at least I hope this isn't the case, we're going to have Christmas in a little bit, and you're going to have gift exchanges and all of that and presents, and somebody in your family perhaps is going to give you a gift. I hope they don't tell you, before you can open this gift, I want to see you do 20 jumping jacks. No. They just give it to you. Love is not expecting something in return. And if God is love, he just wants to hand it over. It's freely given. Freely given. And the only thing that is stopping you and I from receiving grace is us. Just to be able to say, I need your grace, Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. For all of us here today who perhaps grew up in backgrounds that sometimes taught us some legalistic tendencies, listen, it's not our own doing. There is not a to-do list that God is looking for from us. What he is looking for from us, will we receive his grace? Will we let grace come work in our lives and trust that the effect of God's grace taking root is enough? Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. This isn't a complacent statement that Paul is saying, well, this is who I am. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, by the nature of God's grace having great effect on me, I am who I am. And I'm not anything else because of what I've done or what anyone else has done for me. I am what I am by God's help only. And isn't that wonderful to know is that all of us here today, we're just products of grace. There's no special people among us. We're just recipients of grace. The one special is Jesus. And it's his by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is received, not earned. And fourthly, this. John 1:16. From his fullness, we have all received. We just said that, right? Grace is received, not earned. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. upon grace. You know the wonderful thing about grace? Oh boy, I know we could all testify to this today. The wonderful thing about grace is it never runs out. If you need grace right now, it's available to you. Tomorrow, we're all going to wake up. We need grace, whether we ask for it or not. We need grace. And it's available for us. God doesn't say, well, you've had your limit today. I'm cutting you off. He doesn't say that. This is a statement of expression, expressing exaggeration. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Day by day, it's just grace being poured out on us. It's just every day there is grace coming to help us. There is grace coming to sustain us. There is no supply limit with God because grace is unlimited, because God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And since he's all powerful and it's his grace, he can give as much of it as he wants. He could keep pouring it out as much as the children of God come and say, but Lord, I need your grace today. What does God do? I'll give you my grace. As you keep coming back to him, Lord, I need grace today. God says, I'll give you my grace because his grace is enough for us. It never runs out. And although we may not get the prayer that we want when we pray, the thing that we will always get is what God told Paul, grace. It's enough. Always and abundantly, there is grace available for you and I. Isn't that good news to us? Isn't that good news that God didn't say, well, you had your chance one time, you messed up, no more grace for you? No, that's not what God says. It's always available. You can mess up, you can fall flat on your face, you can bring disgrace on your life in whatever sin it might be. But the one whose voice opens up to the Lord and says, but God, I need your grace again today. God says, oh, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. It's available for you. The musicians are going to come. And I want to leave you with this. Remember what Paul said. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. That's hard to do. Let's be honest. That's hard to do. Paul, he was at another level. We're striving for that, right? And maybe you can. But I'm going to just be honest. That's hard for me to do. It's hard to boast in your weaknesses. It's hard to boast in my insults and hardships and persecutions. But I'm learning something here. When I am weak, I am strong. Weakness is not a bad thing. Let's just be honest. Weakness is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. In the spiritual world, it's a good thing. Peter also echoes this. He says, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A proud person doesn't want grace, nor do they think they need grace. They think they've got everything they need. Well, but a humble person realizes, in my weaknesses, God's power is made perfect. God's power is made perfect. I want to leave you with this scripture. Wonderful scripture. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's mercy there. There's not getting what we do deserve, but there's also grace there, getting what we don't deserve. You know, the thing that amazes me here about the writer of Hebrews, and they write it about the throne of grace, is that Isaiah saw the throne. Beautiful nature of the throne, right? The things he saw, and others write about the throne. But the writer of Hebrews tells us what the substance of the throne is. That the substance of the throne of God, the thing that gives him the place of seating, that holds him up where he sits, is held up by grace. Because the nature of God's throne is love. And what flows from God's throne and what God wants to flow from his throne is love. And while there is these terrible images of God, these people who think God sits on some throne that is waiting to strike people down, the Bible tells us the opposite of that, that it's a throne of grace, built with the substance of grace. What does that mean? That if his throne of grace, if his throne is made of grace, that it is daily outpourings of gifts and love from God. Imagine for a moment you had somebody in your life, every day of your life, every day of your life, multiple times of the day. For the sake of the illustration, let's just say on the hour, every day, they walked up to you and handed you a gift. Every day, for the rest of your life. What would you think about that? Wouldn't you start to get overwhelmed? Wouldn't you start to say, but why are you doing this? Wouldn't you start to think that person loves you a little bit, cares about you a little bit? And that's the nature of grace, is it keeps coming. It keeps coming. It's overwhelming when you think about how I'm going to receive grace. It just, oh God, why? I don't deserve it, but you keep giving it. But why? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. It is equally easy to live as a believer without the trusting of God's grace. Oh, but those early believers understood, grace be to you. God's grace be upon you, because what all of us need day after day, grace upon grace, grace upon grace. Notice what the writer of Hebrews said. You can come to the throne of grace with boldness and you can receive mercy, but you can also find grace to help in time of need. So you have a need like Paul, right? God, take this away from me. Take this tormentor away from me. There's a need, right? And what did Paul discover for his need? Grace. You need help in your life? There's something going through? What we need is grace. And where do you find grace? At the throne of grace. That makes sense, right? That's logical. The throne of grace has grace. And if you in your life today, you're struggling to make it, can I just encourage you, live by God's grace. By God's grace and grace alone. Just as much as we need grace today, we're going to need it tomorrow. We're going to need God's help. We can't see it. We can't understand it sometimes. Oh, but I know I need it. It is an indisputable truth. I may not be able to see it. I may not be able to fully understand it, but I sure know I need it. Every day, God's help coming to you and I. Isn't it wonderful? God wants to help us. Doesn't want to just abandon us and leave us without help. Oh no, he wants to help. Will you stand today? As the choir comes, can we sing that song, I Need You More, in just a few moments? Today, would you just pause and close your eyes with me today? My brother, my sister, you're going through a difficult time. Look, I wish there was a solution, there was an answer to it, to the immediately. But beyond that, I know that the greater solution and help to your situation is God's grace. And this morning, if you just need God's grace today, you would say with me, Charlie, I need God's grace. Can I just invite you to come and stand here at the front with me? Just come stand here today. This morning, you don't know the Lord. You feel like you've failed him over and over again and wondering, how am I going to come back? Listen, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God wants to give it to us anyways. Just receive it. Just ask him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I need your grace. Forgive me of my sins. Help me today. Wash me. Cleanse me. I need grace today. Would you just come this morning? You need grace in your life. Just come stand here today. We're going to agree together as a church. Oh, we need God's grace today. Lord, this morning we pray for a fresh deposit of grace today, Lord. Oh, we need you today, Lord. We need grace today. And so this morning, Lord, we don't come as cowards, Lord. We come boldly to your throne, Lord, for grace today. We need your grace this morning. Lord, stretch out your grace towards us. Pour out your grace upon us, Lord. Pour out your grace today, Lord. Pour it out, Jesus. Pour out your grace today, Lord. Pour it out this morning. Come on, just lift your voice with me. Let's pray. Ask God for his grace. Come on, Lord, we need your grace today. Send your help to us today, Lord. We need you this morning. We need you, Lord. Grace today, Lord. Grace today, Father. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out, Jesus. Pour it out, Lord, today. We need your grace, Lord.
Thank you, Father, today we bless you.